Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Improving urban schools remains one of this country's most vexing social problems, and it's a challenge for Boston as well. In his State of the City address last night, Boston Mayor Tom Menino embraced the idea of vocational education as the best route to better academic results and job training for many Boston high school students.
Specifically, Menino proposed to radically overhaul the Madison Park Technical Vocational High School in Roxbury, which has struggled over the years. At Madison Park, more than 40% of freshmen don't graduate in 4 years. Two-thirds failed to achieve grade level on standardized tests.
But Menino says he wants to turn the struggling school into a cutting-edge institution of academic learning and job training.
Tonight, I am announcing a plan to transform Madison Park to a top-notch center for career readiness and workforce development. We want to designate Madison Park as an innovation school. We're going to have changed the schedule and the curriculum so they allow for the real work-based experiences.
So is Tom Menino's vision of vocational education the best route toward building a better public high school in Boston? We're going to spend a little time with that question right now, and there's a lot of evidence around the state that the answer is yes. Joining us in the studio is Bill Simons. He's director of Pathways to Prosperity at Harvard's Graduate School of Education. He led a team of educators that took a close look at some of the challenges facing Madison Park. And Bill Simons, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Also with us is Charles Lyons. He's the superintendent of Shawshene Valley Technical High School in Billerica. And welcome to you, Charles Lyons. Great to have you.
Thanks, Anthony. Nice to be here.
And let me start with you, Bill Simons. Your report, Pathways to Prosperity, a lot of interesting stuff in there about this subject. It has this to say about the very troubling and very high high school dropout rate. You write, or in the report, it says, too many young people can't see a clear connection between their studies and tangible opportunities in the labor market. Is that the challenge that a vocational education school can successfully tackle?
Yes, I think it is a challenge a vocational school can tackle. And we started the Pathways Project by facing the reality of what's going on in American education today. Every year, 1 million students drop out of high school. And while many students go to college, many of them leave before they get a degree. So the failure rate is astounding. And we need to do more to improve the success rate.
And what's at stake right now? Because, again, this report talks quite alarmingly about what we're talking about, young people going into a job market unprepared, and how that's going to get worse and worse and worse unless we deal with it and turn this issue around.
Right. I think what's at stake, Anthony, is that in this recession, young people under the age of 25 have been hit far harder by unemployment than those over the age of 25. You know, the unemployment rate among teenagers right now is at the highest level since the Great Depression. And as you know, and has been documented on WBUR many times, even many college graduates are struggling to find a meaningful job when they get out of college. So we really have a tremendous unemployment problem among young people, which I think makes vocational education more relevant than ever.
So what's the vision of a transformed Madison Park Technical Vocational High School? What would it look like? The mayor talks about longer school days, a different curriculum to allow real work experience. What's the hope that school can become?
Okay, our hope is that it can become one of the three pillars of excellence in Boston public schools. We have the exam schools already, led by Boston Latin. We have a performing arts school, Boston Arts Academy. We're hoping that Madison Park can become one of the third pillar, that this school would graduate 90% of its students prepared for both further study and the workforce, and that they would come out really equipped with some of the skills they need for the 21st century economy.
And how would the curriculum change? Because this would be a mix, right, of traditional high school academics and job training. Am I right about that?
Yes. Our hope is that Madison Park can do what's already being done at Shawshene Valley and some of the other state's other excellent vocational high schools. What they've learned how to do is integrate academics right into the vocational education. If you do that, the students become more engaged and their academic performance rises even as they learn critical vocational skills.
Well, let's turn to Charles Lyons, superintendent of Shawshene Valley Technical High School in Billerica, Mass. And Charles, one of the things that I've learned just recently is how many great schools like yours, vocational schools like yours, they are around the state. I think they serve something like 40,000 kids, according to the Boston Globe. One of them is your schools. Give me a sense of the academic results that you're getting out there, because they're quite astounding.
Yeah, we've primarily, we're an independent vocational technical high school, and I think the mayor's comments last night talked about needing to set up an independent focus for Madison Park. About 96% of our students score advanced to proficient right now on English language arts exam as sophomores. It's the highest in the state amongst all the Voc Tech schools. As a matter of fact, it's the highest percentage even amongst the academic schools that serve our district. Our math MCAS, the percentage of students who score advanced to proficient, is about 85%. The mean math score was 260, which was an advanced score. About 45 to 50% of our students now go on to four-year colleges. A number of our students go into trades and go into programs where they receive gainful employment. The mayor spoke last night that about 11 students at Madison Park were on cooperative education last year. Right now, we have 163 seniors out of 321 students that are working in local businesses. So students not only receive excellent academic training and preparation. Our valedictorian, I might add, just got early acceptance to a school, I think it's called MIT.
Oh, yeah, we've heard of that.
It's a technical college, I think, in the area. We're very proud of her. But there's a real focus, and students come in. They're able to select a major. They spend sufficient time in that major so they can develop competencies that employers respect and want working in their for their companies. And they also, at the same time, while they gain those competencies, because of the time they spend and the quality of time they spend with vocational technical instructors, the average daily attendance is 97.1%.
So typical, I mean, terrific results, terrific standings. Congratulations. We want to put a question out to listeners because we want to get them involved in this conversation. We're talking about vocational education as a pathway to success in high school, particularly here in Boston. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Is this a model that makes sense to you? Have you seen it work? Or do you have questions about it? Are you worried, for example, and we'll bring this question up, that it might be tracking kids too soon and limiting their options? You can give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter and at Radio Boston. Let me ask you, Bill Simon, since I brought up that question, by way of pushback, is there a concern? I mean, are we saying, well, let me just throw this idea out, the old sort of line about Voc Tech is this is where you put the kids who can't succeed in traditional academics. And Charles, you can pick up this too, and I know you're already laughing over there at that. But go ahead, Bill Simons, you first.
No, I think that that may have been true at one time. It's certainly not true in 2012. The reality is that high-quality vocational education is an excellent pathway. That's been proven not just at Shaoxing Valley, but in the nations of Northern and Central Europe, places like Germany, Switzerland, Austria, and Denmark, where the majority of students are actually involved in vocational education and where they're running circles around the U.S. in terms of their performance, both in terms of academic performance and much lower rates of youth unemployment.
Mm. So, Charles Lyons, who gets into these schools? Are there admissions requirements, for example?
There are admissions processes. For example, you have to pass your eighth grade English and math exam. You have to maintain a reasonable disciplinary record. You have to, we've had at Shaoxing 600 students applying the past couple of years from five communities. We've accepted 350 students. We just built the new $5 million life science wing to expand programs in nursing assisting, dental assisting, and medical lab technician. And we've also eliminated some obsolete programs that we feel as though the economy is not providing the types of jobs and the quality of jobs that our graduates deserve. But it's a blind process in terms of admission. About 26% of my students who took the MCAS exam were diagnosed with special needs, yet 96% passed English language arts. These young people are coming to school every day, and we're hiring exceptional teachers. And when you get kids buying into the program, having some say in what they're going to major in, and having fun about coming to school, you match that with exceptional instruction, believe it or not, students learn, and they keep coming back, and that's the key.
Well, let me introduce another voice into this conversation. Thomas Toke is a senior fellow at the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching, and he joins us from Washington. Do I have that right, Tom?
Correct.
Good to have you. Let me ask you, what should Boston be wary of, if anything, when plunging into this model of vocational education at the high school level in a big way?
Well, I think Bill put his finger on it when he said that the key is high-quality vocational and technical education, where there are rigorous standards, where kids are taught to use their heads and not merely their hands, where we're educating students and not merely training them. Unfortunately, much of vocational education in our country traditionally, and to a large extent today too, is not high quality. It is more of a holding location for students, typically those who are less affluent and of color, who are deemed not ready for or not appropriate for a more rigorous academic model of instruction. And so it's great to hear both Bill and Charles stress the importance of high standards, rigor, and the combination of academics and technical training.
Hmm. Bill Simons, anything you want to add to that?
Right. Well, I'd say that there's a misperception sometimes about the rigor that's involved in vocational instruction. I'm sure Charles can tell us more about this, but in auto technology, for example, the average auto manual today is at about a grade 14 level of reading. Hmm. So it's often a much higher level of reading than what a student's going to get in English class. And for that matter, the average car now has 30 or more computers on board. So these are very highly technical machines. You've got to be pretty sophisticated to repair them.
The electronics in a car engine today is more superior than the electronics was on the lunar module that landed on the moon in 1969. If Tom came to Shaoxing Tech, there's 17 different computer labs in the facility. Over 14 of them are dedicated to vocational technical programs. And Shaoxing is one of 26 regional vocational technical schools in the state that boast extraordinarily low dropout rates, extraordinarily high graduation rates, because they're independent institutions with an ability to set up an independent contract, far different than what's, for example, in some of our urban sister schools, where our vocational technical teachers are with their students a significant portion of the day. And those are the types of challenges that the mayor talked about last night, and I think he's got the right vision, and I know he's got the right personality to make this happen, and I wish him well.
Let's take a couple of calls. Ryan is calling from Peabody. Hi, Ryan.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment about vocational schools. A bunch of my uncles went to vocational schools. I think they're great. They're all really successful. One of the things I think is missing from a lot of schools is how to basically sell yourself, sort of have an entrepreneurial spirit. I feel like a lot of schools are missing that. So kids, you know, they can figure out how to put a guy on the moon, but they don't know how to sell themselves to the prospective employer. I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Okay, Ryan, I really, really appreciate that call. I want to move on to just one more, and then we'll come back and talk about what you said. Let's go to Franco, who's calling from North Andover. Hi, Franco.
Well, how are you?
Very well. What's on your mind? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, I graduated Lynn Vocational Technical Institute in 2003. Probably one of the best decisions ever made as far as going to a vocational school or a traditional high school. I have a lot of friends that went to school with me. They have great trades, they make great money. I have a lot of friends who went to traditional high schools, went to college, and are really struggling to get a job because of the economy. I want to say vocational schools are, I think, in my opinion, a great, great asset to have, and I love it. Amazing, and I thank God they have vocational schools.
Well, Franco, we thank you very much for your comment. Charles Lyons, two great sort of comments in favor of vocational schools there. And the first caller we heard from talking about that sort of need for that entrepreneurial spirit and sort of thinking of students as learning how to sell themselves in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, we teach both work ethics and work ethic, the ability to show up on time, the ability to communicate with employers, the ability to meet tasks, those 21st century soft skills that are so fundamentally important. I don't want to leave, I think, one of the comments that Bill's going to make to the school board tonight is we're looking also to expand these schools to serve both underemployed and underemployed adults, as well as look at the plausibility of awarding associate degrees at the community college level for some of our programs. The mayor joined the Mass Association of Vocational Administrators, the 26 regional school districts, along with most of the urban school districts in the state, We can do a lot more with these institutions if they're open after 2:30 in the afternoon. Tom mentioned some of the old trades. Let me tell you, a machinist today graduating from a vocational technical high school is going to make $25 an hour if he or she has those competencies. I see it in my graduates. It's okay to be a welder and a metal fabricator. We have 18 of 25 electricians this year in our senior class already working with electrical companies. We have 15 of 20 HVAC technicians already gainfully employed. Society has to take a look, as the mayor spoke about talking to your neighbor and embracing community. It takes all kinds to make a village and to keep a village strong, and graduates of vocational technical education are playing a vital role in this economy. Mm.
Tom Tocca, let me bring you back into this conversation. We're hearing Charles Lyons talk. He's out. He's in Billerica, which is outside of Boston. I'm interested in, is there a way we need to think about these vocational schools in large urban districts differently or not?
That's a great question. First, let me say that it's really encouraging to hear Charles talk about the features of his program. I mean, it does sound like they do it right, and I think Bill's comments suggest as much as well. In urban centers, many students coming into high school, regardless of their career expectations, are struggling academically. So one of the keys, whether you're going to do it, try to educate them in a traditional academic environment or a combined academic technical training program, is to ensure that they have the basic skills in reading and math. And there are folks like Bob Belfance at Johns Hopkins and others who have looked very carefully at what we need to do to make sure that those kids have the foundational skills to be successful in any kind of program, and that includes identifying them early. We can now track students on the basis of their attendance rates and their grade point averages and predict with great precision their chances of earning a diploma. So we need to identify them early. We need to give them extra doses of the core skills that they lack through double periods of reading and math and the like. We need to give them support in the form of mentors and tutors. Personal connections are just really important, and we have to, as Charles has stressed in his description of his school, create a culture of high expectations. If you combine those things, then you're likely to get kids who are coming in the 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, a much better opportunity to be successful, whatever the path they choose.
And Bill Simons, let me ask you on this point. I know that you led a team of folks that took a close look at Madison Park High. Keeping in mind the kind of challenges that Tom Talk was talking about there of certain urban school areas, what did you see there? What are the main challenges that I guess you'd want to address there?
Well, I guess a major challenge is the population. You know, who are the kids going to Madison Park? This is not a wealthy student body.
Right.
The vast majority of the students are living in poverty. Almost all of them are minorities, African-American and Hispanic. Many of them do not have English as a first language. So I'm sure Tom would agree this is a very challenging population to educate. On the other hand, the team we assembled, which include both national and state experts, strongly felt that if we improve the quality of the vocational education, that's really going to be the best chance for these kids to make it in the 21st century. Right now, many of them are not succeeding, many of them don't graduate, and they go on to live in poverty.
And we're really talking about a curriculum that, I mean, could you give an example of how this curriculum might, what it might look like? I mean, we're talking about 5 days, for instance, getting internship training and 5 days in the classroom. Is that one of the models that's being considered?
Well, we're talking about going to the kind of program that they have at schools like Shawshin, where traditionally they have 1 week on academics, 1 week on vocational. So if you're in the culinary program, for example, you spend 1 week in your academic classes. The next week, you're really engaged pretty much full-time in the culinary. So, for example, at many of these schools, they run a restaurant. Mm-hmm. They prepare the menu, they make the food, they serve the food, and they clean up. They get the entire experience. That really requires a full day. You can't do that in 2 or 3 hours.
Sure. Let's try to get one more call, and Phil is calling from Newton. Hi, Phil.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well.
I had a question about unions and the experience in Shawshin and also how Boston might learn from that. And the two questions were, in Shawshin, do you have any kind of relationship with unions or the trade unions to help teach or train or develop curriculum for the students? And the second question is, what is your relationship with the teachers' union? Do you fight with them, or is it more collaborative to be able to get the best school you have?
All right, Phil, let me give that question to Charles Lyons. Why don't you tackle that second question first?
We've developed a great relationship with the Carpenters Union, apprenticeship programs, Local 103, the Electricians Union, and others, the Masonry Union, where they've allowed some of our students who graduate to get into their apprenticeship programs. But the reality is 87% of the jobs out there are non-union in the private industry or in the private sector. So we've really worked on developing local relationships with local businesses, and that's important in order to make sure that students acquire, once they've mastered their competencies, i.e. their sophomore, junior year, senior year, they're ready to go out to work. You know, and
Charles Lyons, I got to break in because we literally have 30 seconds left, and I'm very
Our teachers' union, you know, we've settled contracts. I've done it for 26 years. They're terrific. Our teachers work. Our vocational teachers work 7 out of 8 periods a day. Our academic teachers work 6 out of 8 periods a day. They're well compensated. They're extraordinary professionals. But in some of the urban systems like Boston, there needs to be a change in some of those work environments in order for those students to get that type of support.
And my guess is that would be, Chris, for a much longer conversation that maybe we'll have the next time. I want to thank you all three for coming in. Charles Lyons, superintendent of Shawshene Valley Technical High School, and Bill Rickamass, thanks so much. And Bill Simons, director of the Pathways to Prosperity Projects at the Harvard School of Education, thank you. Pleasure having you. And Tom Talk, senior fellow at the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks very much.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation online at radioboston.org.
Well, tomorrow on the show, the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum reopens after the completion of its new Renzo piano-designed addition. So we'll take a look at cutting-edge museum architecture right here in Boston. That's tomorrow.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com.
Our show is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, Dan Mozzie, and Jason Breslow.
Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.